We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, Monday, it is back. It is, what am I saying right now? But welcome to the show, Believe You Me. There's Lewis pouring whiskey. If this show goes off the rails very, very fast, I apologize. I'm here. I'm actually now awake. But earlier, we started a little bit late today, and that's my fault. And when I say late, we're talking 10 minutes late, but I went to bed last night. I must have been asleep, Lewis, by 9:30, got up at 7 p.m., right? That's a good night's sleep. What's that? That's like 9 hours, 9.5 hours. Got up, had a solid workout. In fact, I think that was the problem. I worked out too hard. 20 minutes on the rower, shoulders, 300 abs. Then I did 5 rounds on the bag and like a 25-minute stretch. And then I started doing some work for the Contender Series, and I was like, I need a nap. So I went to bed. I had a 45-minute nap and we were supposed to start the show. And honestly, I felt like I'd been fucking drugged. I'm like, I need some coffee. So it's my fault. We're a little bit late, it's but even though I had a lot of sleep, do you ever have that? Sometimes too much sleep is worse than not enough.
Yeah, I know. I have had that. And I get what you're saying. Sometimes you take a nap and you're like, oh, let me go take a little nap. And then you wake up and you're just drowsy and dreary and you'll snap into it. We got some energy. I already feel there's a good vibe in the air right now. I also worked out today. We are less than 2 weeks away from Mike Harrington, LS Mania 20, War on the Shore. He's fighting. Have you seen the guy that Harrington's fighting?
I have not. I have not seen him. I don't want to see him, but I kind of do want to see him. If you can bring up a picture.
You do.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. By the way, I can't be there because I'll be in London, unfortunately.
Where are you, in London?
UK. Yeah, I'm going back to the UK. Got a little movie somewhere. Ooh. Got a little movie part there. But, yeah. Let's see a picture of Harrington's opponent if we have one.
Brian, if you can pull up John Matthews, the producer from the Rude Jude show on Sirius XM.
Rude Jude.
That is, he's by the way, Harrington, let's do a little tell of tape. Harrington, how old are you, Harrington? 31?
I am 32 years old.
30 years old, and your opponent is 48 years old.
Well, that's okay, because Anderson Silva was 46 at the weekend, and he got knocked out cold, and he was used to be the greatest fighter on the planet, so I don't know what any of that means, but I still think you're going to get your ass kicked, Harrington.
Really?
Actually, I take that back because I'll say this, Lewis. I saw a little bit of this Ziffadger. Oh, my God. Look at this guy. I don't know, man. He's lean. He's mean. He looks psychotic. He's doing push-ups in the studio with his shirt off. Hold on. One.
Yeah, good push-ups.
They're full range. Ooh, explosivity. Look at the explosion on those push-ups. How would you take your shirt off and do some push-ups?
I want 9, 10. I want to do the challenge. 11.
Hold on.
12. 13.
14.
16.
We'll call it 20 for the purpose of the 17. Show. Harrington, shirt off.
18. I want to see if we can beat him in the push-up challenge. 19.
Well, we'll just say it's 20. Because, you know.
Come on, dude. This form is getting crazy.
Take your shirt off and do 20 push-ups for us. Let's see.
Come on, Harrington.
With this camera, I can't.
Yeah, but it's okay.
You little pussy.
Put your head. Just try. Let's see what you can do. Come on. Hey, your opponent did it. Are you saying that your opponent's better than you? All right, here he goes. Shirt off, baby boy. You are losing weight, Harrington. Hi, guys in the background. How are you? She's like, oh, no, I don't want to be on the camera. All right, shirts off. Hold on, stand up. Let's have a. Oh, look at this.
Let's go, Harrington.
One, fast. Two,
three, four, five.
At what point do you think he'll start fading?
Seven, eight. He's pretty good. Nine, ten. He's been working. 11, 12.
He's fading though.
14. Come on, 15, 16, 17, 18. Come on, Harrington. 19. 20. There you go. 21. Wow. All right. 22.
We got it.
23.
He did it.
He can't hear us. He's going to keep going.
I know. I just like the counting.
He's a try hard. Wow.
Good job. Woo.
25 good. Is that win?
Whoa.
Wow.
See, that, See that bitch?
You need more?
See that bitch? 25?
That good, bro? Hey. Come on, coach. Tell me how many you need.
Hey. I need you to dial it down a bit. Fucking lose that aggression. That tone of voice ain't going to work on this show, baby boy.
Sorry, coach.
Hey, good shit, buddy. Good shit.
That was good. He did more than I thought he was going to be able to do. Harrington has been extremely committed to this whole thing. The problem is he just can't fight for shit. It's fucking so funny.
It's funny you say that, though, because I saw in one of your videos online, you were doing a little sparring, and I saw Harrington clock you one. I know he can't fight, but I did see him connect with Zichin.
No, Harrington's land. Yeah, me and Harrington spar all the time. That's why I think he's going to do well in this fight. He's been sparring a lot with me and Diego for the past couple months.
Man, I'm very, very excited to see it. I can't wait.
I feel like you're being sarcastic.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. It's the highlight of the year for me. In terms of mixed martial arts action, it's not the potential of Adesanya taking on Jan Blachowicz. We'll get into that later. It's not Khabib potentially coming back for the 30th fight, even though he said he was retired. We'll get into that later. It's not Poirier versus McGregor. We're going to get into that when? Later. But it's Harrington versus Dixblatt. Yeah, of course. No, I'm serious.
Well, so they're going to be on platforms in the water, and I believe Shane Carman's going to be there. And if they come too close to Shane Carman, he can hit them, which is a whole other element.
I got to say, just for that alone, I do want to be there. I'm willing to sacrifice doing this movie just so I can see that. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's what's going on right now. So,
oh my God. It was Halloween at the weekend, Lewis. I noticed from your Instagram that you had quite the party, quite the shindig.
Soiree.
Talk us through that. A little soiree.
I did it for the kids. We did a little party, a couple of kids from the neighborhood, which one of the main reasons why I did it was because I wanted my son to start making friends with kids in the neighborhood. I just moved here a couple months ago, when you're in New York City, your kid has a fucking play date like once every couple of weeks. And that's like his play date. It's very strange. The city is not a great place to raise your kid. So I wanted to sort of do that. And it was really fun. I hired Harrington for the day. He was my slave for $20 an hour.
Wait, hold on. Isn't he already your slave?
No. I mean,
you paid him overtime for the Saturday.
Well, here's what you got to realize about Harrington. Harrington will work for you for $20 an hour and do anything. He'll just, like, if you want him to come do yard work, put together furniture, babysit, wash your car. I mean, literally, there's anything. He's like task rabbit. He's my own personal task rabbit.
So, Harrington, is there anything you won't do for $20 an hour? You know what I mean? What won't you do? I mean, where do you draw the line and say, no, that's too much and I have my dignity?
Okay, so like murder and sexual favors, pretty much anything else.
What about, Harrington, Alfie is still shitting all the time, right? And it's not fair on Rebecca Bisping. I've been saying this morning, because the poor woman, she's literally out of bed every night, four times a night. She's got to go outside. She's got to open the door while he stands there and then just fucking diarrhea is everywhere. Then she gets out the hose pipe and she flushes all the diarrhea down the drain. It's horrible. But he's on these steroids that are making him eat like crazy. He's put on like 25 pounds.
Dog.
Not killing the dog. We're making the dog better. What I'm saying is, though, Harrington, I'll get your flight. Will you be our official dog shit flusher down the drain guy for $25 an hour?
Yeah, I mean, what?
Listen to me. And I mean this. If Harrington had to be, if I'd be woken up in the night to clean up Harrington's shit every night, I would kill Harrington. I would say, let's put our friend Harrington down. He's a producer and a friend. It's a dog. His poor dog.
Yeah, no, it's a dog, but it's part of the fucking family. So have a heart. And all you people that told me to put him down, go fuck yourselves as well. Listen, you don't leave a man behind. The guy's got a problem with his anus, okay? And I know what that's like. We've all needed a shit here and there, not been able to pass. It sucks, okay? He's had the balloon in the ass. It's working. He's on the steroids. He's recovering, but he's pissing and shitting like a fucking nightmare. And poor old Rebecca is the one that has to deal with it. Literally every day I get out of bed, I'm like, all right, so how was your night? She's like, well, last night, four times. Sometimes it's three. Sometimes two. It's been as high as five, where she has to get out of bed. And like, as I say, she has to handle all this dog shit in the night. And she's a saint because I just sleep through. I know nothing about it. But yeah, I'm the one that's complaining that I don't get enough sleep.
Devil's advocate?
Devil's avocado?
Maybe you just split the responsibilities with Rebecca.
I'm a hardworking man. I got to sit here and do podcasts. I got to sit here and talk. You know what I mean? Listen, I have a job. I'll be going to Vegas tomorrow to do the Contender Series. She's not. Someone's going to stay here and clean up the dog shit.
That's actually a great point.
Yeah, no, it is though. I do earn the bacon, so to speak, around here. And I've got to be all in. I've got to be sharp. I can't be getting up. I can't be lowering myself to dealing with dog shit. No, I've got big, big fish to fry. I've got to talk to Harrington and you twice a week. That's hard.
Which is kind of like picking up dog shit through the night in its own way.
I got to sift through the dog shit to get to the good parts. You know what I mean?
I get it. You're both doing the same thing, technically.
Yeah. We're dealing with a lot of dog shit on a weekly basis. Okay, there you go. And the one that has to really deal with the dog shit is Brian. When we hang up, we just go about our business. You're drinking whiskey. Brian has to pick up the pieces. We do the ad reads 20 times. We get it wrong. I don't know how long it takes Brian to edit them together, so it's good. Do you know what I mean? But Brian, you and Rebecca Bisping, you are both saints in my book. So there you go.
So, what did you do on Halloween? The Halloween party was great. My son fucking loved it. It was a true. I'll tell you a couple little key moments that stuck out that were unique.
Please.
So I have a trampoline in the backyard for the boy, obviously. So what I did was a big candy grab where we threw a bunch of candy on the trampoline, a bunch of little like play balls, plastic balls. And then the kids would come on for 30 seconds each. And I would jump. I had a fake chainsaw and a Jason mask. And I jumped up and down on the trampoline and, you know, made the candy jump everywhere. And they had to grab as much as they could in 30 seconds.
It sounds like a lot of fun, although the kid's very young. James, you have said on occasions, kind of like Lucas, you know, a real kid, but doesn't like, you know, to be scared. I mean, scary stories in the dark, you said, was too much for him. I'm just going to say bouncing on the trampoline and you jumping out of the darkness with a Jason mask and a chainsaw, possibly scarred for life.
He loved it. And then, well, so Harrington was a helper at the party the whole day. He was, by the way, Harrington was fucking great. If you want Harrington to help out with children's birthday parties, I will highly recommend him because he was excellent. So we did this one bit where we made like a dummy, like a werewolf, like a fake werewolf that was just sitting next to the garage the whole day, you know, and all the kids would come and play with it or whatever, but it was there for hours, right? So then while the kids weren't looking, I had Harrington switch places with this werewolf, put the mask on, the shirt on, and then I lined up all the kids next to Harrington to take a picture next to the werewolf, and then right when we said one, two, three, yeah, he jumped up. It was fucking great. Scared the shit out of them.
Yeah, again, scarred for life, but would have given you the best laugh ever. You know what I mean? That sounds awesome. So did you have trick-or-treaters coming to and fro?
A little bit of trick-or-treaters. We ended up going trick-or-treating. I'll tell you, Jersey right now, it's so funny because you just see it. You're like, all right, dude, anybody trick-or-treating is voting for Trump. These fucking people.
Yeah. And that is tomorrow. We're staying away from the election.
We won't. We're the only fucking show on the planet that says, fuck the election. We will not talk about it. If you're voting, you're a fucking loser.
You're not a loser if you vote. That's the message.
The official stance.
The message is go fuck yourself because I'm English and I can't even vote anyway. So we're not getting into it because I have no say. Here, trick-or-treating was optional. Okay, so that meant that our kids went out trick-or-treating. But a lot of the houses in this neighborhood, you know, it's a decent neighborhood. They got little balconies at the front. And then I've seen them on social media, but that's what they were all doing. They had like a shoot. And they sit there on the balconies like lords and go, oh, hello, yes. And then shove a piece of candy down. What they could have done is what we did. We just got like a big cauldron and then just put all the bits in there and just fucking help yourself. There you go. Nope, take it.
Not me. I said, come here, kid. I gave him a kiss on the forehead. Mwah, like an Italian. Mwah. I was like, thank you. Beautiful costume.
Coughed all over them.
Yeah. I licked each piece of candy, put it
grabbed
in the bag.
Grabbed their ass. Felt his cock. So, oh, you're strong, eh? You're very strong.
Oh, there was a lot of that, though. There was a few people that were really creative with the way they did it, where they created a tube and they decorated it. A lot of people did the candy in front of the house, but a lot of people also just opened the door and, I don't know, man. It's just a...
I'm glad I was working. I'm glad I was out of it.
You didn't have to deal with it.
I don't have to deal with any of that shit because it's well established. I'm a miserable bastard when it comes to Halloween. I like seeing my son. That's it. And
what was Lucas like for Halloween?
He was going to go as a zombie as the vaccine test subject, but then I took him down to this place last week called Party Party. Fuck me, the amount of costumes that they have, it's pretty exceptional. I'm going to be honest, some of the costumes when I saw them, I thought, oh, I might buy one of these anyway. He ended up going as a scary jester. So like a chester with a thing, but then a mask. No, it was cool. It's a good outfit. Very, very good outfit.
Next year, everything's back in normal, you guys should come because I'm going to do this Halloween party every year and it's going to get bigger and better every year. It was really fun. We had like a haunted house downstairs. It was really cool. So you guys should come next year. Bring Lucas. It'll be fun. We'll do a couple podcasts.
Well, maybe I'm going to throw a party at my house. Maybe I'm going to do it even bigger and better. I'm going to put red dye in the pool. It's going to be a pool of blood. Okay. I'm going to hire a bunch of Harringtons. They're all going to be dressed up as clowns and shit. In fact, it's talking to that because I'm joking, by the way, and I would love to come. Thank you for the invite.
I'm thinking about your party at the Half Mansion now. I was like, that's actually a better party. Can we just invite my party to you?
If we can do that next year, fuck it. You're all coming out here. I'm going to get a bunch of extras. Yeah, we got the blood slide.
Blood pool. How cool would that be? Blood pool.
Oh, blood pool. Let's do it. In fact, we will do that if we get a chance. Okay. We all know 2020 is a little nuts, but that doesn't mean you should disregard your nuts. No matter what size, mine are huge, or shape, Lewis is a little deformed. Whatever they are. In fact, Manscaped is on a mission to take care of your manhood with their below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products. And great news, they have just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia, Lewis.
Exactly. Now it is coming over there to the UK. Well, most of our fan base probably is in the UK at this point. You guys haven't been able to get Manscaped before. Manscaped is the greatest product for, personal man's grooming. We don't have to read all this bullshit, okay? It is very
simple. There's a lot of features. We're not going to read them all, but just tell them why you like it, Lewis.
I'm going to say it's very simple. It's a ball trimmer, okay? Instead of using a razor blade or a hair trimmer, which I used to use in the past to trim my balls.
Trim trimmer for myself.
Which I'd nick myself almost every time.
The worst.
Awful. This is designed, I have no idea. They've made it so it's nearly impossible to nick yourself. It's very quick.
I've tried. I'm like, let's put this motherfucker to the test. And I'm pretty haphazard in everything I do. I'm like, this thing says the whole mission statement is that you can't cut your balls. So I'm just going to go in 100 miles an hour. Motherfucker did not have a scratch. It's and beautiful. I was clean whistle.
I put the number one guard on it. So it's not perfectly down to the skin, but it's very neat, very neat.
Very classy.
Seconds later, it's perfect. I mean, all the other features are great. Yes, there's a little light on it. Great. If you're doing it in the dark like a weirdo, fine. You can do it in the shower, which is pretty
Turn
cool.
Turn your lights on, okay? If you're from the 1800s, fair enough. But listen, it is fantastic. It is great. And we're on model fucking God knows how many now. And every time it comes out, it gets better and better. That's how these things work. But let's just go through a few of them. As Lewis said, there is a little light, but turn your lights on. There is the Crop Reviver Ball Toner, a spray-on toner that will give your balls a little slice of heaven with their aloe vera and hazel extracts.
I never did anything to my balls until they gave me this little pack. They give you this packet of shit too. Here's what they do. They give you a packet of stuff to spray on your balls. You'll use it and it's great. Your girl's going to like it. I've never wanted this stuff until they gave it to me though.
Whoa. Are you talking about the Crop Mop ball wipes? Because you never know when an opportunity strikes. You should always be prepared, Lewis. You are young, free and single. Certainly ready to mingle. Get the Crop Mop. Get the ball wipes. Get the Manscaped. You shouldn't leave your home without it. I mean, I don't know how fast your pubes grow. For me, I don't need to do it that often.
And I'll tell you, the battery life is incredible. We're sort of being a sponsor maybe 6 months ago. I've never recharged the battery.
Me neither.
You shave it once a week, maybe?
And guess what? This isn't in the ad read. I used it the other day to trim up my neck. I did.
I have three Manscaped. Listen.
I used it to trim up the neckline because the battery on my face one had gone. I'm like, fuck that, Manscaped all day, baby.
Dougie, I have three of them. I use one of them to trim my head because I use a razor blade to get into the skin. But if I let it grow in a little too long, I use one of my Manscapes for my head as well.
Yes, and for you, more sensitive types out there, I want you to hear this. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, paraben-free. So you know that your manhood is in good hands. Listen, the reality is we all got to trim our balls now and again. And this is the best way to do it. I gave one. This is a bit weird. I gave one to my brother-in-law last Christmas, but wife gave it to him. So essentially, my wife gave her brother a device to trim his balls. Little bit strange, but it was a last-minute gift. I'm like, oh, I've got a Manscaped, one left over. So there you go. Weird gift.
That's not a re-gift. That's fine. It's okay.
No,
it's
brand to give new. To your brother.
Is it brand new?
Oh, of course, brand new. In the box, baby. In the box. Come on.
This is a really fucking great gift for the man in your life, brother, one of your good friends. If you're looking for something to get somebody this holiday season, this is a really incredible gift. 20% off with the promo code Bisping at manscaped.com. MANSCAPED. Manscaped, past tense.com. Use that promo code Bisping for 20% off.
And I just want to say it's Bisping because some people, Bisping. It's Bisping. Manscaped.com, 20% off. All right, where were we? No, I saw, Sunday morning I wake up. So after the fights, I drove straight home. The fights finished at 7 p.m. in Vegas. Yeah. I was like, thank fuck. Grabbed my stuff, jumped in the car straight away, left my laptop at the Apex. But I'm back for the contender this week, so hopefully it's still there. It will be. I know it will. But anytime you lose something like a laptop, you can't help but be a little... But there's no thieves in the UFC office, but,
Well, is there a password on the laptop?
Yes, because I haven't deleted my history yet. That was the first thing I thought of. Alone in a hotel room, certain things on there that need to be deleted before it's ready for public consumption.
I know. I've learned just incognito. Nobody's got to know what. I just like now my you're every time you're alone with yourself, incognito. But I haven't figured out incognito.
IP Vanish will take care of that.
That is very true. They're not even on today's show, but that's just the goddamn truth.
It is the goddamn truth. But no. So I drove home, got home by like 10:30, drove like the wind. And then I wake up Sunday morning and I'm scrolling through Instagram, like everybody does on a Sunday morning, having my coffee. And then you see all the people that went that threw Halloween parties like yourself, and yours look like a lot of fun. But then there's some that they're just posturing. You know what I mean? They're just showing off on social media. And I got to say, the one that really took the cake was Kim Kardashian. I don't know if you saw that, because I don't follow Kim Kardashian, by the way, but I do follow World Star. And World Star had Kim Kardashian's on there. And you can bring this up if you want, Brian or Harrington. If you go to Kim Kardashian's Instagram, you'll see it. I don't know how much money she spent. And she is insanely wealthy, obviously married to Kanye West. So as we know, money is not an issue. But I reckon they spent $100,000, somewhere in that region, on turning their fucking Calabasas mansion into a spider web. Right? The entire thing is just covered in spider webs. And then you walk in. Whoa. As you walk in here, the whole thing is just covered in webs. Right? And listen, it's fun. But the next morning when you get up, do you know what I mean? And your house is full of fucking cobwebs and stuff. And maybe I'm getting old and miserable, but this is just a little bit much if you ask me, Lewis.
It's a lot bit much, but when money is truly no object, right? Look how much fun their kids are having. There's a fucking trampoline inside.
You had a trampoline and you cost $20 from Harrington to watch the kids. That trampoline cost them $100,000.
Doggy, when money is nothing to them, they go to brunch and they go, make it disappear. And then they come home and it's gone. I would do shit like that. Like if I had just had millions upon millions and millions... Like, you're just, it's just Bro. Living the fantasy life. By the way, side note, did you watch Kanye and Rogan at all?
I did not know, but I saw some little clips. And there's a big segue, U-turn, whatever you want to call it, diversion, whatever, off the tracks.
ADD fucking little side note.
I like it, though. Fuck the Kim Kardashian Halloween talk. Let's slag off Kanye West. I'm all about it. This guy's out of his mind. I saw one little clip on Twitter that someone put on. And him and Joe Rogan are having a conversation. And then Kanye's talking, but he's like taking a lot of time between each word. And then as he's talking, the gaps start getting longer. And there's one in particular long gap. And Joe's like, and Kanye's like, and then Kanye goes, I just said a prayer. I just said a prayer in between. He's out of his fucking mind. Did you see that bit? He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. He's like, I just said a prayer. And Joe's like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I just sort of got ADD, and I wonder if you had seen it because people were talking about it.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. But wasn't he trashing Kim Kardashian online?
I don't know, but this is if we're gonna have a conversation about this, at least one of us has to have seen it. I thought you saw it. I didn't see it. Lewis must have seen it because he's bringing it up. No, so let's have a conversation about it, even though neither of us saw it.
That's how good we are, Bisping. Oh. That's how good we are. We can talk about something that neither one of us know anything about, which Harrington, is 90% of the show.
Harrington, give us a subject. Go.
Get any subject. Go.
Anything.
Go ahead.
Anything.
Go ahead. Go.
Non-MMA? Gervonta Davis getting a knockout.
You fucking idiot. You fucking idiot.
Yes.
You fucking idiot.
Okay. So.
No. That was on the notes. Time out. No. No. That was on the fucking notes. We're supposed to talk about that.
No. That is a random subject. Okay. It's beautiful. Random. He slipped a shot. He came in with a lead up. Wow. It connected. Ridiculous. It was in the sixth round. The guy goes down. Oh, absolutely unconscious. And very reminiscent of the way that Dillian White got knocked out just a few months ago.
I want this to be a moment to point out why I hate Harrington, because
Stop, Brian. Save. Brian, give us a random subject.
Banana bread. How do you make it?
Banana bread. I don't know how to make it, but my wife makes it. I don't like bananas. I do like bananas, but I don't like banana flavor.
I hate the way that you say banana. It's not banana, it's banana.
Oh, are you going to stick a banana in the tailpipe? What's the movie?
I don't know, but it'd be
Brian, what's the movie? Oh, you're not going to stick the banana in the tailpipe? What movie is that? Beverly Hills Cop. Thank you very much. You know when he sticks the banana in the tailpipe or exhaust pipe, as we call it in the UK.
But that was some good fucking riffing right there. You guys see that? That was professional podcast riffing. This was amazing.
One more time. Let's go, Harrington.
Another subject.
Save yourself. Direct it at Lewis. Go.
What's your favorite bird?
My favorite bird? This one. Yeah. Oh, in your fucking face.
Very immature, Lewis. But myself, I've always had an affinity with the birds of prey. The eagles, the falcons. You know, the peregrine falcon is a particular favorite of mine. Although the vultures, they're cool as well. Birds, I could go on all day. All day.
Least favorite bird. Boom. The pigeon. Obviously.
Obviously, they're everywhere.
Obviously,
they're like rats.
They're disgusting. They exactly.
are rats.
They really are.
With wings, they shit everywhere. They do my fucking head in. Trafalgar Square in London, a beautiful monument to the greatness of the UK, covered in bird shit. You know what I'm saying? Fuck pigeons.
Fuck pigeons. There we go.
Yeah, fuck those pigeons. Anyway, all right. So enough randomness. But yeah, you're right. Literally anything, and we can talk about it with like real
gusto, passion.
Like we know what we're talking about. Authority is the word I was looking for. Authority, gusto, passion, all those stuff. All right, let's talk about something that we do know what we're talking about, or at least one out of the four of us knows, and that one would be Harrington. fights of the weekend, of course. We had the UFC. Anderson Silva fought Uriah Hall. It was kind of a bittersweet moment, you know. It was sad. It was sad to see. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of it all in a second. But Lewis, what did you think? Because obviously, Anderson Silva is almost 46 years old, and if you look at the career of Anderson Silva, there's a lot of losses on there now. He just got knocked out of Uriah Hall. Before that, it was a stoppage to Cannoneer. Before that, it was I don't know. But the piling up. Anytime you see that from who was once the greatest of all time, it's time to stop. And this was billed as the last ever fight for Anderson. But then in typical Anderson fashion, he's like, he doesn't know. He left the door open. But what did you think when you saw that, Lewis?
What I initially thought while I was watching the fight, I think maybe it was because it was after the Bryce Mitchell fight, which was, the pace of that fight was so crazy. Then you saw Anderson and Uriah. It was a lot of feeling out. And I know like they had a lot of respect for each other, but it was, it wasn't like the most exciting fight, especially for like a stand-up, fight for the first few rounds. I thought Anderson was doing a good job in the fight. I thought he was winning the fight. And then, yeah, Uriah seemed to get some confidence in the third round when he caught that knockdown. And you could see that he smelled blood. It was sort of sad in a weird way. When you hear that it's Anderson Silva's last fight in the UFC, and this is with all due respect to Uriah Hall, you just think of that course. Anderson's going to win that fight. I think most of us picked him to win that fight. You didn't pick because you were working the card that weekend. You thought that Anderson was going to go out on an exciting sort of knockout. They have a similar style. Anderson's, probably more technically proficient, and he showed that in the first couple of rounds. But yeah, kind of a sad way to see Anderson Silva leave the UFC.
Yeah, it really was. Certainly after he inspired everybody for so long. And he did. He inspired so many people. Listen, first of all, Uriah Hall is a very, very tough opponent. He's good. He's very, very fucking good. That's why he's been in the UFC for so long. And he's put on some fantastic performances and some tremendous knockouts. But even still, I thought that this is a fight that Anderson Silva should have won. You know what I mean? Because if you look at the two styles, they're not carbon copies of one another, but there's certainly a lot of similarities. You know what I mean? Uriah Hall's a flashy striker. Anderson Silva was the flashiest of strikers. Okay? So you can draw a lot of parallels. What you can't draw parallels to is the careers, right? The career of Anderson Silva does not run a parallel to the career of Uriah Hall. And again, that's not an insult to Uriah Hall. That's just how great Anderson Silva was. So because of that, I thought, even though Uriah is younger and all the rest of it, I still thought, and even though Uriah Hall was a big favorite, I think he was like a 2-1 favorite coming into this. I still thought, which was surprising to me.
I had no idea. We didn't even mention that.
But it seems like they got it right. They knew what they were talking. They knew what they were talking about. But I was shocked when I first heard that, because I thought Anderson would pull it out of the bag. I thought for his last fight, and actually I think that was his
you
downfall.
You didn't pick because you were working the card. But and honestly, we never even really spoke about what your pick was. We didn't speak off air.
I would have picked Anderson Silva if I'm honest. No disrespect to you, Ryan, nothing personal or anything like that. But for those reasons, and because it's his last fight, right? And after such an illustrious career, you want to go out on a high. So there's a lot on the line for Anderson. It's legacy, it's pride, it's leaving on a high, all these things, right, that I could bore you with. So I thought for all those reasons, he would win. And I think because he did want to do that, that's why he lost. Because in the first couple of rounds, you're right, it was tentative. It was slow. It was a very, very drawn out feeling out process, which is often the way against high level strikers. You can't rush in. And Anderson throughout his career has always been a counter striker, pretty much. Of course he goes on the attack here and there, but he does. He likes to see what you give him and he likes to counter. He likes to play games. He likes to go up against the fence. He likes to make you miss and then make you pay. And in round three, he started getting a little, I think he felt the pressure to provide something spectacular, right? And he got caught with that shot, and it was a beautiful little short right hand from Uriah that put him down. And then in round four, I think because of that, he got even more desperate to show the world how great he was and to end on a high, because he ran at Uriah Hall with his chin up in the air, with his arms kind of flailing around, which is not how Anderson typically fights, but he was over aggressive. The technique wasn't particularly good. I talked about it on the commentary. I wasn't trying to be insulting. Of course, this is Anderson who, and I don't know if you saw my post, I have tremendous respect for, even though I talked a lot of shit when before, how can you not respect Anderson? But he ran in like this and your right hole, boom, perfect right hand, straight down the pipe, put him down and then finished him.
And you had made the parallel during the commentary as well about being sort of on the other side of it, where in the fight with you versus Anderson Silva, after the third round, you were put on your butt and you were, and Anderson was feeling that pressure after the third round because he was put on his ass in the third round. So it was sort of interesting for me. You brought that up during the commentary. I thought it was very interesting.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that, but I'd love to take credit, but that's the head producer. He was in my ear. He told me to say that because I wasn't. Oh, my God. So it was a good point because the producer, the boss says, hey, boom, say that. And I'm like, really? I don't want to inject myself, but you're like the most fascinating part of the commentary, Mike. And I'm like, fuck, the guy knows what he's talking about. Believe it or not.
I thought it was a great point. When you said it, I was like, oh, dude, that's really interesting.
It's really good. I thought it was a terrible point, but I'm like, fuck it. He's the boss. I'll say
well,
it.
Well, I think when you did, it's very funny because you sort of showed your ass there, right? Because you were like, well, I don't really need to bring myself up. That's you being almost like, it's very funny to watch you be tentative there, and you don't want to like put yourself into it because it seems like you're being like, but that's interesting because you said that in the commentary as well, where you said you didn't, not to put myself into it.
Well, you got to be careful of that, right? You can't be bringing up yourself all the time. But of course, when I commentate, I'm drawing on my experiences, of course. So sometimes I have to do that. But I have noticed like one or two people on Twitter, oh, Bisping inserts himself into it. And it's like, well, yeah, I did have more fights than any other motherfucker on the planet in the fucking UFC. So I do know a little bit about it. And I'm going to bring up some of those situations as examples to explain to you what's going on.
Especially when you're talking about somebody that you fought. I mean,
the guy that's competing right now. Sorry, Lewis, go ahead.
No, but it's very true. I mean, why would anybody get annoyed about that? That's one of the cool things about having fighters be commentators, right? So you could have the Annex and the Joe Rogans and everybody else, but there's a few guys, yourself, Daniel Cormier, Florian. Elder. You guys have been there before. Sometimes you have been in the cage with both of those guys and you can say, oh, I know from a very unique perspective what it is like. And you should share that experience because the viewer, they're never going to be able to hear that from anybody else in the world. That is a once in a million chance.
Yeah, that's why I think it was 2 years ago, basically, when I started commentating, and that's how I got a job. So thank God. They're obviously, you need the play-by-play guys, your John Annex, your Brendan Fitzgeralds, but then you need the color commentary guys. And they want all of those guys, other than Joe Rogan, of course, because he's part of the furniture of the UFC, to be fighters, to be former fighters or actual still present fighters in the case of recently DC and Paul Felder. Because, yeah, number one, the audience knows these people. They've watched them fight for a long time. So they can trust what they're saying to them. They can trust that what they're saying is coming from, you know, from experience of actually being in the octagon. You know what I'm saying? So, it was sad. It was sad. And then Uriah, he knocked him out. And then you saw Anderson Silva. He was trying to do like an ankle pick on Herb Dean. I was like, oh, don't do that. Don't do the ankle pick. No. Don't ankle pick the referee. It's the ultimate integrity loser. Do you know what I mean? Anytime somebody tries to take down the referee, he's like, no.
I wonder if there's a highlight reel or a compilation of fighters trying to grapple the referees after they've been knocked
every
out.
Every time they've done it, yeah. Because you see it on occasion, don't you? Yeah. Sometimes they're so out of it. Or do you know what? Sometimes when I see
sometimes the referee turns them over and you're like, oh, Jesus.
Hip tosses them, throws them down, slams an armbar on. Fucking Herb Dean's like, I used to fight, dickhead. Yeah, let's go. Slaps an anaconda on Anderson real fast.
Mike, really quick, let's just take a quick second and thank CBDMD, which is an incredible sponsor. I love CBD in general, and CBDMD makes some of the best CBD in the world. If you don't know, CBD is the non-psychoactive chemical in hemp. It does not get you high. It is legal in 50 states, and it is designed to get your body back in homeostasis. It helps your body heal itself. It helps your body perform at its highest level. If you have things like anxiety, if you have physical pain, inflammation, trouble sleeping, there's a multitude of things that CBD helps with that is known to help with. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yes, and here's the kicker. Here's the big one, your bottom line. Your wallet will thank you because CBDMD offers some of the best prices per milligram, right? And it's quality CBD. Literally, the market, which the CBD market is flooded with a lot of companies, but you want good shit, you want quality, and you want good value for money. That is where CBDMD stands out. They have a variety of different topics. The freeze is fantastic. The recover's fantastic. They got bath bombs. They got drops. They got tinctures. They got gummies. However you want to take it, they have the product that you need. And as I say, it's all grown inside the USA. If for these Americans listening, and if you're elsewhere in the world, you can get hold of it. I believe they're launching in the UK very, very soon. Free shipping on all US orders, of course, with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So as Lewis said, if you've got inflammation, anxiety, pain, you know, anything like that, a pain in the neck. My dad, he was just on the phone yesterday asking for some more of it. I said, next time I come over, I'll bring some because You know, his hips and his legs are starting to piss him off again. That got rid of his problems straight away. You know, within a few days, he felt great. So do give it a try, right? We're not snake oil salesmen here. This is legit. It's well known. It fucking helps. Bottom line, CBD from a good company like CBDMD will help the problems that you're having. If it, you know, listen, if your wife's driving you crazy, won't help that. If you've got a sore leg, a bit of inflammation, it's going to help. Maybe your neck when you get out of bed hurts, CBD is going to help, or maybe you can't sleep at night. It will help with that. But of course, we have a great offer, Lewis. Tell the people.
What you got to do is go to CBDMD.com, CBDMD.com, and use the promo code BYM20. You're going to save 20% off your entire order. 20% off. That's a huge, that's one fifth, 20 cents off every dollar, $20 off every $100 you spend. CBDMD.com is the website. Let them know that Michael Bisping sent you by using the promo code BYM20. Go save a little bit of cash and help heal yourself and your family members. Okay. Where were we?
So, yeah, listen, at the end of the day, it was sad to see because Anderson is a legend. And not only that, when you talk to him, he really is a class act. He's a really, really nice guy. So anytime, and certainly from a selfish standpoint as well, anytime you beat an opponent, you want them to win all the time. Every time Anderson loses now, it takes away from my victory. So from a purely selfish stance, Anderson, please don't fight again. Every time he loses, it makes me look worse. But Dana White had some words at the post-fight press conference about whether or not he would let Anderson fight again. Brian, roll the tape, please, my friend.
I've done nothing but be good to Anderson Silva. And tonight I don't feel good about myself that I let Anderson Silva fight this last fight. You know, we've treated Anderson Silva with nothing but respect. And if you guys knew what Anderson Silva gets paid to fight, you'd shit your fucking pants. So I think that we've treated him like family. I shouldn't have let him fight this fight tonight.
But his chin seems to be gone because he seemed like he fought a pretty good fight, and yet when he got touched on the chin is when...
He fought a guy that has absolutely zero output. They're in a five-round main event on ESPN. They threw 11 punches in the fucking second round. Yeah. You break into the... You know, you fight any of these other savages. You know what I mean? He'll be in big trouble, and he'll take a shitload of punishment. Uriah Hall threw 11 punches in the second round. Uriah Hall is one of the most gun-shy fighters in the UFC. And look at Anderson. When the fight was over, he couldn't even stand up to do his interview. He had to sit down to do his interview, and I made a big mistake. I shouldn't have let him fight this fight tonight. But out of respect to him, and you know, he's a legend of this sport, and he's a legend of this company, I did something that I disagreed with, and I knew I was right, and tonight proved I was right, and Anderson Silva should never fight again.
When I talked to him on video,
that'll do, Brian, and I agree. Anderson Silva should absolutely never fight again, and that probably to some people, certainly to these fucking UFC haters, probably sounds like harsh words, but I agree with everything he said there. That might sound a little harsh on Uriah Hall, but Uriah is sometimes a little gun-shy. He looked great Saturday night. He got the job done. I'm not taking away from his victory. But if he fought anybody else in the top 10 or top 5, it wouldn't end well. He fucking went down, he got beaten, he went unconscious Saturday night. Imagine him against Paulo Costa or Adesanya again or whatever. It wouldn't be good. Now is the time to go. But what did you think of that, Lewis?
Yeah, it was. I mean, very. If you're Uriah Hall listening to that, that fucking cuts deep because you just got to, you know, debatably the biggest win of your career, and you finished him. It's not like you won a decision. You know, he got the finish. You don't want to hear that. You know, you're trying to set yourself up to be the next guy. So that fucking sucks for Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
But probably, you know, a lot of truth there. You know, Dana White does not hold back, and you know, what Uriah Hall should take from that is fuck, let it go. Because when he does let it go, he can get the job done. Uriah Hall's an incredible fighter. But yeah, I think there was a lot of truth coming from Dana White. And this is why people like Dana White, is because that's his fucking show. It's his product. And there was a finish. He could easily go, look, you know, Uriah Hall's the next big fucking thing, blah, 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 blah. And he just tells it like it is, and he says it like he sees it. And you got to give him respect for that, because he's saying, I fucked up by letting Anderson Silva fight this last fight. It had shades of Chuck Liddell. I don't know if you remember sort of James' reaction after Chuck.
I do.
It sort of reminded me of that as well.
Yeah, listen, and I saw some people on Twitter saying, well, it's not Dana's right. Well, it is his fucking right. It's his company. He owns the company or whatever. You know, there was a sale, whatever. But he's the president. He's in charge. He's at the fucking helm. It's his company, right? And he knows Anderson. We all know Anderson of great, how good he used to be. And now he's getting finished against a guy like him, right? And Anderson said to him, it sounded like they had a chat and he fucking begged him to fight. And he was like, okay, against all my best, what's the expression I'm looking for? Against everything I thought, I went against what I thought I should do and I allowed him to fight. And then when he sees him get knocked out, he's like, fuck, I made a mistake. And he says, he'll never fight in this company again. And and as you said, you have got to respect Dana for saying that. And I just want to say this, by the way, because every time I say something good about Dana, people give me shit and say, oh, company man, he's a UFC shill. Well, fuck you. Because yeah, I remember people that look after me, and Dana's always done me right. He's always been a good friend, and we haven't always seen eye to eye. He's called me up and fucking had a problem with something I've said or whatever over the years, but generally, he's a good dude. He's a stand, well, not all the time. He's a stand-up guy. You know exactly where you stand, and as you see there, the things he's saying there aren't coming from a bad place. They're coming from a place because he's thinking what's best for Anderson. He went on to say in that press conference, if you saw what Anderson Silva got paid, you would shit your pants. Now, I don't know what the number is, but I can believe that. I would assume it's millions of dollars per fight every time he fights. So Anderson doesn't need the money. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's still chasing that great finish, possibly. Because when I asked him face to face, I said, so is that it? Because we did the post-fight interview and he said, okay, you know, because this is my last time here or whatever. So I said, oh, it's funny you mentioned that, Anderson. So is that it? Is this the last time we see you in a mixed martial arts fight? And then he didn't give an answer. He's like, oh, I don't know. It's hard to say. So he still left the door open, but it sounds like we won't see him in the UFC ever again.
Yeah, probably not in the UFC ever again. And I mean, look, dude, if he wants to make money and he's not taking a ton of damage, it's not like he took a ton of damage in that fight. You know, he got knocked out, but it was like, you know, it was whatever, you know, it was a minimal strikes. You know, good for him. Do your thing. He'll make millions of dollars anywhere where he wants to fight, you know, but he's not able to beat the top elite guys in the UFC. It should always be, you know, the elite premier mixed martial arts league. It should be the absolute best guys in the world competing.
Yeah. That's a good point. You just made me think of something there, because you see some people, they've people like Vitor Belfort or whatever, calling for a Legends League in the UFC, where people like an Anderson now, or I don't know, fucking Randy Couture or Vitor Belfort can all come. No, that's not what the UFC is. The UFC isn't about, let's bring back washed up, old, injured legends with one fucking eye. It's about seeing the best fighters in the world. And when you can no longer claim a title as one of the best fighters in the world, then unfortunately, you're not a part of the UFC anymore. And that's just the way the cookie fucking crumbles. Yeah. Anyway, enough Anderson, because we don't want to sound exactly like the last show we just did. There was plenty of other action. Of course, Uriah Hall was the victor. You know, and he was talking about Israel Adesanya. Izzy was in the building. I feel like that's a little bit premature right now. There was a fight earlier on in the night. I'm not sure if you saw it, where Kevin Holland fought a new guy called Charlie Ontiveros. Charlie Ontiveros was like a Taekwondo guy. Kevin Holland had fought four times this year. That was his fourth fight, and he got his fourth win. And that fight ended pretty quick. Kevin slammed him down, and then it was an unusual finish, right? You couldn't see from the angle what happened, but apparently it was a verbal submission, and Ontiveros didn't move, didn't get up for quite some time. The stretchers had to come in. And again, it sounds like I'm kissing Dana's ass, but I'm not. But Dana was out of his seat, on his feet, right up by the side of the cage the whole time. Very, very fucking concerned. Because you got to think, this guy, this Charlie Ontiveros, I don't know much about him. I researched him for the fight, so I know a little bit. But on a personal level, he took this fight on 48 hours notice. Flies into Las Vegas, fights a guy, a very, very good fighter like Kevin Holland, gets picked up and slammed, right? And it was a nerve condition in his neck. He couldn't move for a while, but then he went to the hospital and he got the all clear. It was fine. Whatever happened, the pinched nerve, whatever, it subsided and he was fine. And I was commentating and Dana comes over and like taps me on the shoulder. He says, Mike, just want to let you know he's absolutely fine. He's made a full recovery, right? And not for the sake of the broadcast, because that it was on his mind. And you got to think, every time someone steps in there and fights, Dana pays them to do that. So he does have a fucking conscience. There's this narrative out there that he's this big, bad, greedy fucking boss. He's giving hundreds of people an opportunity. It sounds like I'm sucking his dick, but I'm just telling the reality of what happened on Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really scary. There was a moment, as we're spending, this episode is called Believe You Me Podcast Sucks Dana White's Cock. It was a moment in the book where you talked about it, where you weren't cleared to come to the U.S. yet. You were.
Yeah.
I really am fucking listening to the Believe You Me audiobook, so I know so much about Michael Bisping right now. Oh. But it was an interesting moment, right? Because you had just won The Ultimate Fighter and you had dealt with legal issues and you were, you know, a lawyer was trying to get you cleared to come to the U.S. You weren't given a work visa. They were like, yeah, sorry, you're not going to get a work visa. You know, you freak out. They were like, all right, you know, you're going to appeal this and you're waiting to find out. And then Dana White calls you up and he's like, hey, dude, you know, hope things are going well. We don't have a fight for you yet. Shit happens. And then he gifted you some cash for your family so you could buy them some Christmas gifts, which was just a great little defining moment. And I could see why you are defensive of the relationship after hearing a story like that, where like, you don't really know him. You're not a friend with him at this point. Like you just won The Ultimate Fighter. Like he's protecting his business interests. You know what I'm saying? On one level, he's a smart businessman, but also has a human element to him where he goes like, dude, you got a family, you know, that's a big part of the show, the production. You show all this other side to it. And he said, hey, I know you're having trouble here. We don't have a fight booked for you right now. And he gave you some cash. You know, he cut you a check so you can buy your family some Christmas gifts. I think that's
Check for 10 grand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Send me a check for 10 grand. You know, he called me up and said, so how are you doing for money? And we had a chat about the fact I couldn't get out there yet because I was a little dickhead when I was a kid. And he said, yeah, don't worry. We deal with it all the time with fighters. Obviously, some of them have a background. He said, we'll figure it out. How are you doing for money? And being a proud guy, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm fine. And he said, nah, bullshit. You haven't fought in a long time. You must be hurting for cash. I'm going to send you a check. I went, oh, you don't have to do that. He said, yeah, whatever. Anyway, be well. And we said goodbye. And sure enough, 10 days later or whatever from the US, fucking check shows up. $10,000, tax was paid. So 30% taken at source. So yeah, $7,000. And I got to say, I fucking needed that so bad. And yeah, I don't forget things like that. And he didn't need to do that. I mean, and again, we'll move off kissing his ass in a minute, because I know some people will say that, but look at that thing he did with that lady from Best Buy recently. These are things that he doesn't need to do. Remember there was that thing, that situation in Hawaii, a lady, yeah, stopped somebody stealing a TV or whatever. Maybe not a TV, something smaller, I'd assume. Tried to steal something and she tackled him, whatever. But apparently she got too rough. So fucking they fired the girl. Dana dived in, didn't know her from Adam, flew her out to Las Vegas, gave her front row tickets to the fight, and then gave her a fucking job working for the UFC afterwards. Do you know what I'm saying? So for every person that slags him off, and there's not that many these days, it's just a few select media members. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of great things to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see people being like, oh, well, yeah, Bisping works for the UFC, so of course, yeah. But it's like, well, hold on, it's not... Maybe the reason you work for the UFC is because the relationship you've had with these people and you see how well they treat their employees. Maybe that's the reason you continue to work with them. You see other guys, there are other guys out there that have been, and I won't name names, it doesn't even matter, but there are guys that have really bad relationships with the UFC that don't like Dana White, they walk away, and it's...
Well, sorry, I'll let you finish your point.
But it's almost like, you know... I just think it's a fair point sometimes to bring these things up. You have very personal stories with things. I have no relationship with the UFC at all. I can't even get a ticket if I tried. I mean,
well, it crosses over into everyday life. It's about mutual respect. You know what I'm saying? If you have mutual respect for one another and you know, treat him with respect, then he'll give it back. And if you don't have that mutual respect, then guess what? You're not going to get that back. Mm. And that crosses over into any walk of life. I mean, you in your comedy career, you must have people, peers, employees, promoters, whatever, bookers at certain nightclubs or whatever, wherever you fucking do your comedy. And you got to build these relationships. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're a dickhead with that guy, they're going to say, no, he's a fucking asshole. He's hard to deal with. He's unreliable. He doesn't do his job well. And to top it off, he's talking shit about me in the media. Yeah. Fuck that guy. That's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you're going to be that guy, you better be the absolute fucking best beyond by all. And it's so funny because like when Tito Ortiz was going like head-to-head with Dana White, he was the best. Tito could do it because at the time he was absolutely the best in the world, 205 pounds. So he had the ability to do it, but it was very few people that could do that. The reason I speak of Dana White in such a positive manner is because as a fan, I look at it as like a business from the business side. As a business person, Dana White and the Fertitta brothers and what they did for that sport, if you watch it from the its inception and where it grew, it's so impressive to go from being this thing that people were like, this is fucking wild. It's animals in a cage, all these different weight classes. It was so primitive and like underground to becoming such an incredible mainstream brand where it's like a t-shirt brand. And
Well, now you've got celebrities. I
just watch it and I have a lot of respect, the same way that I have respect for Steve Jobs or fucking Tesla. What's his name?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk. Like I look at those guys and I'm like, wow, dude, these guys do these incredible things. And I put Dana White in that same category. It's a much more crude thing than those things, but I put him in the same category.
Smashing people's faces in isn't as good as designing fucking solar powered electric vehicles. Anyway, we'll get off Dana White's balls before people throw.
Can you show him this podcast, please?
I'm sending him this tomorrow. I want a pay rise. And I'm like, hey, Dana, just take a look at this.
Believe me, podcast exclusively on UFC.com.
I'll tell you what, the fucking schmo had him on his podcast when we getting him on. Let's go. All right, let's just take a second to hear from Keeps. Listen, here's the facts. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they are 35. The good news, well, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps have revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescriptions. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online. You can get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms. No more pharmacy checkout lines. You get doctor's attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home, Lewis.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. If this was available 15 years ago, this would have changed my life. I sit here like an asshole with a bald head looking at you, Michael Bisping, with your beautiful, full, long, luscious head of hair. It's making me furious because it's not natural. Everyone, he's very Hollywood. This is Keeps. He can thank Keeps because he's keeping his hair. He'd be looking just like me if it wasn't for Keeps.
Listen, here's the deal. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments really work. In fact, they're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. And the sooner you start Keeps, the more hair you're going to save. So act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. You will experience some hair regrowth, Lewis. You will not get a full head of hair, but find
that'll
out
look
why
Keeps. Worse for me, just a little bit like patches popping up on my
tuft,
head.
A little tuft here and there. Is that, like, Lewis, you need to cut that off. You need to let that go. You need to embrace the baldness. But still, find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. And nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start as little as just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. Lewis, tell them about the deal.
All you got to do right now is go to keeps.com, KEEPS.com/believe, and you're going to receive your first month of treatment absolutely free. Once again, that's keeps.com/believe. Get your first month for free. Hold on to the hair you got. Keep that hair. Grow a little bit more hair. Look like Michael Bisping, not like Luis J. Gomez. I'll say that. It hurts to say, but it's a goddamn truth. Keeps.com/believe. Get that first month free.
All right, let's move on. So the co-main event, it was Bryce Mitchell taking on Thug Nasty, taking on Andre Touchy Feely. I interviewed the guys for the UFC, not for the UFC, for us as commentators on Wednesday. And obviously both guys were supremely confident going into the fight. Bryce Mitchell, his last fight, he went to a decision and he was like, it sucked. It was terrible. And it wasn't terrible. It was a fucking dominating performance. The fight, his last fight, I forget, Charles Rosa, potentially. I think it was Charles Rosa. It was clear domination, one-way traffic. Bryce just took him down and nearly submitted him 1,000 times. And he was talking to us saying, that fight was shit. I should not have gone to a decision. I should have got the finish. So he brought in a guy called Gary Tonin, who's one of the premier jiu-jitsu players on the earth, and broke down all his mistakes. But then Andre Feely brought in a guy. Oh, no, no. Andre Feely brought in Gary Tonin. Bryce Mitchell brought in someone else. But Andre Feely basically did the same thing to break down Bryce Mitchell's game. Right. So they both prepared a ton for this. And it was a close fight. It was back and forth. But it ultimately, Bryce Mitchell just fucking took him down time and time again. Feely was really good defensively. But you don't win a fight, unfortunately, by being defensive. He was escaping mount. He was escaping side control. He was getting back to his feet. But then he'd just be taken down again. And then he goes back to being on the defensive. And as I say, you don't win a fight by being defensive. Even as impressive as Andre's defense was, and on the feet, he looked dangerous on occasion with some kicks and, you know, some, he landed some shots and things like that. But still, Bryce Mitchell is a very, very special fighter.
Yeah, Bryce is a fucking killer. Is he undefeated?
He is undefeated. For some reason, yeah, at the weekend, they had him as 13-1. But that was a demonstration contest on the, it was one of the Ultimate Fighter fights. He got beat on the Ultimate Fighter against Brad Katona. So technically, that shouldn't be on his record because that's classed as a demonstration bout. So yeah, to answer your question, he's undefeated.
He's a killer, dude. Bryce Mitchell is a killer. And the pace, it was both of them. You have to give Andre Feely credit for the pace as well, because he just was nonstop, just moving. And he was all defensive, but I don't know much about fighting, but I know that I'm doing jiu-jitsu right now and it fucking sucks. And to grapple at that pace, those guys were just nonstop grappling. It made me exhausted to watch it. And I said it before, but watching Anderson Silva versus Uriah, those first couple of rounds where they were just high-fiving and dancing, high-fiving. The difference in pace between those two fights was just so astronomical. I got to give both Bryce and Andre Feely credit because it was just such a crazy pace.
They weren't high-fiving. Because what happened? No, I know, but that's what happens because you got an orthodox, a right-handed fighter taking on a left-handed fighter, a southpaw, as it's known in the trade, and their lead hands are almost touching one another. So that's just anytime an orthodox and a southpaw do that, they'll do it because they're measuring, and it looks like they're high-fiving. They weren't. I know, what's up? Yeah.
Then a little dance.
We're really doing this, man. Together. Yeah, baby.
If one of our fans want to cut together like a little dance between Uriah Hall and Anderson Silva, just a high five and then a little fucking shuffle.
I tell you what I liked that Andre Feely was doing. It's something that I used to do a lot. Injecting myself again. I apologize, but it's true. So Bryce would take him down. And it looked like Bryce was doing nothing. He'd just lie there, right? And then he'd explode and he'd get the reversal or he'd escape the position or whatever. And what I mean is when I say I used to do that, if somebody takes you down and you're constantly underneath and you're jiving and jucking and trying to get guard and you're fucking fighting the position the whole time, they clamp on and you know, they don't let you move, right? And they're countering, they're fighting back from what you give them. But if you just stay nice and composed and just relax and kind of go limp, you know what I mean? They will kind of settle down as well. And then when they settle down and then you explode 100 fucking miles an hour, it catches them off guard. And that's how you get the reversal and stuff, you know what I mean? And that's what Andre did a really good job of multiple times.
Yeah. What happens when you explode, then it fails, and then they go, like, well, that didn't work. Now I spent all my energy trying to explode.
I just led there for 13 minutes. I'm saving it for the last 2 minutes of the fight.
Yeah, it's very easy to say, it's explode. Go, just explode. Wait, you know, go limp. Then boom.
Technical explode. Okay. All right. But no, that was a tremendous fight. It was. I mean,
it was great.
Bryce Mitchell is, he's like a 145 Khabib. And that is high praise indeed, but he's got a very similar style.
I was thinking
style.
That when I saw him. Yeah, he has a constant grinding pressure. And Bisping, you have to give one Mike Harrington credit, because Mike Harrington has been trying to insert Bryce Mitchell into the conversation for two full years.
Yeah, no, and we did it. We did it. We had him on the show. I invited him on the show today and he didn't get back to me. He's a big deal now. He's too busy out there protesting for fucking Trump and telling people not to wear the mask. Put your fucking mask on. Love you, Bryce. Yeah, fuck you, Harrington. Harrington, what did you think of the fight? Give me your technical breakdown. Give me the breakdown that you just read on fucking MMA Junkie. Go for it. Regurgitate.
Well, I really enjoyed the I really enjoyed you actually talking about it during the fight. He put on a significant amount of weight, and I thought it was really interesting that first round he was like beating Andre Fili to the punch. I know you were saying he was getting outclassed on the feet. I don't think that started until the second round. I don't think he was used to like striking with somebody like Andre. It felt like he got a read on him. But I did like that first like 2-3 minutes of the first round, he was landing heavy shots, and it looked like that extra weight really helped him in the wrestling department. So he did break his hand in the fight, unfortunately. Yep. So he's going to be on the shelf for quite some time, but I am super excited to see him face a top 10 featherweight.
Yeah, no, likewise, and well said, Harrington, because he did break his hand. That shows he landed some good shots, and he did work on putting weight on. He said he was going into featherweight fights initially weighing like 147 pounds, excuse me, and this time he cut down from like 165. So certainly, you know, if you're a grappler as well, that extra weight is going to help. Rest of the card, Greg Hardy was on there. He made short work of Maurice Green, caught him with like a screw jab, they call it, or like a shitty lead uppercut. I call it a screw jab. Dropped him.
You sure you don't want to call it a shitty lead uppercut?
Shitty lead uppercut, or you could call it a screw jab. That's what I call it. Some screw it up. Dropped him in the first round, nearly finished it, but then, you know, Maurice got back to his feet. Second round, caught him with the screw jab and got the finish. And a lot of people, you know, they're quick to talk shit about Greg Hardy. You know, for some reason, it seems a popular thing to do. And just forget about the controversy surrounding him, right? That was a long time ago, and however you want to slice it, maybe he paid his debt to society, maybe you'll never forgive him or whatever. That's gone. That's in the past. It's in the rearview mirror. It should be. Now we're focusing. It's been in the UFC for 2 years now. You know what I'm saying? Now we're focusing on his fights, and he continues to get better. Because you got to remember, 2 years ago, he went on the Contender, and I think he had one or two fights. And since then, he's been fighting in the UFC. Top fucking level guys. He just fought Volkov 2 fights ago. Do you know what I mean? A guy that just beat Walt Harris with relative ease, and he's getting better and better. And he was talking to us last week how he left American Top Team, which is one of the best gyms in the world, you know, in terms of talent. But he was saying the problem was he would just go and have team training. So there'd be 30 people on the mat, right? And there's a coach with a whistle, whatever. Spar that guy. Change partner, or we're going to do wrestling drills, whatever. He's left that environment. Now he's with Rashad Evans, Dean Thomas, and he's getting one-on-ones. So now they're breaking down to him why they're doing certain maneuvers and understanding the need for that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I kind of wanted to get your opinion on what you think is a better approach for a fighter. And it's probably the answer is probably that it depends which fighter you're talking about, but maybe what's a better approach for you?
Yeah, well, the answer is you need a bit of both, to be honest. You need the variation of sparring partners, but you got to have that one-on-one time. You got to have, especially when you're a beginner like Greg is, you got to have somebody that breaks it down. So, okay, here's what we're going to do, right? And I don't know what it is. Let's say if you're trying to re-guard or get back to your feet, you got to say why you're doing certain things and then why you don't do certain things. And then as you're drilling it, you make mistakes. If you've got a one-on-one guy, no, you're doing that wrong. Don't put your foot there. If you do that, you're allowing yourself to get taken down, or you're open to a submission. You're leaving your neck exposed, all these different things. You'll only get that with the one-on-one real, you know, listen, in a group scenario, of course, the coach is walking around. They'll see someone doing something wrong and correct it. But it's way better to have that one-on-one, real close attention to detail. But of course, then you need the bodies. Like when I was fighting, I trained with Perillo and Brady Fink. He was my boxing coach. And for the most part, it was one-on-ones. But twice a week, I go to Mark Munoz's gym, the Rain Training Center, and there'd be tons of bodies on the mat. And that's where I didn't do all my sparring, but twice a week, sometimes I go in there and spar, because you need the variation of styles and sizes, and a wrestler, and he's a striker, but he's a jiu-jitsu guy. And you can't get that if you're training with the same guys every day. So you need a little bit of everything. But anyway, there you go. There you go. Well done, Greg Hardy. Another good win. You know, sky's the limit for that guy. He's a big motherfucker.
And yeah, I mean, look, at one point you have to put the controversy behind him, right? Like, it's very funny, because like in the world of comedy, you see this happen a lot where people are quote unquote canceled for doing whatever. Right. And in comedy, for some reason, it seems to be a much harsher standard than other arts, whatever it is. But with like sports, it's not really subjective. The best is the best. Right. So you're like, well, you're like, at one point, do you let go of this guy, like the bullshit from the past? You're like, look, if he becomes the best fighter in the world, do you not want the best fighter in the world to have the title? Do you want to say, well, this guy had a troubled past. He's had some issues in the past. So we're not going to let the best fighter in the world be considered the best fighter in the world. That's crazy. That's a crazy way to look at things.
Well, I mean, you could talk about John Jones, couldn't you? I mean, when you talk about being the best fighter in the world and potentially having controversies, I mean, there is John Jones. And in fact, as I say that, did you see that video at the weekend? And you are right. Yeah.
Segway champion of the fucking world, Michael Bisping.
Fucking trophy, bro. Yeah. So John Jones, whether you know, asterisks or stars in the sky, whatever you want to call them, right? He's potentially one of the greatest fighters ever. And that's just a fact. Whether you like the guy, hate the guy, steroids, no steroids, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that some fucking idiot, and he's a fucking idiot, and obviously he's a thief, so he's a lowlife, but tries to rob. He probably didn't know it was John Jones's house. Of all the houses to rob, it was a big house. Big house. I'm not, big Albuquerque though. Cheap property prices, bro. You won't get shit out there.
Yeah, fucking the same house in fucking Orange County. You're gonna have a fucking 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, yeah. There's a video. I don't know if we can play it. I don't know. Do we have it? Is it worth looking at? Because there's a little bit.
Yeah, please.
And then there's a guy and there's a few cars parked up on John Jones's estate, if you will. There you see him here. He's approaching the cars. And then I don't know if he's fiddling with them. He's trying to get in the car. But then in a second, you see the garage door open and then the guy runs away. And then you just see John Jones sprinting after him with a fucking shotgun in his hand and a dog as well. You know, and like as if it's not scary enough, the prospect of an average dude robbing John Jones's house and coming face to face with John Jones. It's coming face to face with John Jones with a shotgun and drunk or whatever. Do you know what I mean? That's a scary thought.
Yeah, I mean, John Jones probably didn't need the shotgun, but you assume he's coming into your property.
It's opening. Whoa, he's like, fuck this. It's a big ass fucking shotgun. Not that I know anything about shotguns, but it looked like a big one.
He's fast too. John Jones is fast. My thing, I do not want to kill somebody. I don't want to murder a person, even if they're trying to fucking rob my car. Unless they have a gun and they're trying.
Round of applause for Luis J. Gomez, what? Everybody. He doesn't want to kill somebody. Unless you're a psycho, Luis, that is everybody.
Well, if you pull out a shotgun and you're running after somebody, you have to assume that you're prepared to murder this man. I just feel like it's a little aggressive. It's a little bit of an overreaction. I'm saying like, hey, you know, this guy's running. At the point that I see the guy running, I'm going, you know what, let me call the cops. My family's protected. I have a shotgun. He's off.
Devil's avocado.
Devil's avocado, good, please.
Devil's, we're going to stop saying that. It's stupid, but still.
I love it.
This is the thing, and again, your Second Amendment, I don't want to get into it, I'm very sorry, but you guys, you're all about it, you're allowed your guns, bro, and if any motherfucker steps on
first,
that's second. The second,
yeah,
any motherfucker steps on my land, and then I can blow your goddamn brains out, right? That's a law, right? And so there you go, you know, if you're John Jones, you don't know what this guy has. Unfortunately, he could have a gun, he could have a knife, he could have anything. He's running, but if you catch him, John was chasing after him. And if he catches him, little knife, little gun, you know, a little fucking ninja star. You never know what the guy has.
I'm just saying, at the point that the guy's running off my property, I'm probably not going to chase him down with a shotgun. If you chase him down with a shotgun, you're asking to sort of get into you're putting yourself, you're playing in traffic. Now you're in a situation where you might have to kill this guy. And I don't want to fucking shoot somebody with a shotgun. That seems like a goddamn nightmare.
A little bit extreme for a Saturday night. I was watching a good movie. I see someone on the CCTV. I'm like, fuck this guy. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Wow. Yeah, no, I don't want to shoot anybody yet. Brian, with the finger up at the back.
To be fair, you are less likely to kill somebody at range with a shotgun than you are with a solid slug bullet.
Yes, Correct. Okay.
Spoken like a serial killer. Thank you, yeah, Brian. I appreciate like, you chiming in.
Spoken like, hey, listen, man, Mike, I don't like what you're saying about my Second Amendment, okay? So fuck you, and I'm just going to say. No, you are correct, but still. It's
well,
a little
I'm
like
just
shit.
Saying, you don't have a gun, right? Do you?
We don't get very many viewers, do we? So no, I don't. Come and rob me, motherfuckers. Give it a shot. I'll tell you what I do got. I've got some fucking... This reminds me, yeah, I'll never forget. I think I've told this. I but my old boxing coach, Mark Kinney, great guy. He's from Liverpool, tough guy, no nonsense guy, does not fuck around. And we were flying off for a fight and we were going through security. And as you go through security, you know, the metal detector thing, he said, you haven't got any weapons on you, have you, sir? And he goes, I've got a fucking left uke. I've got a fucking right hand. All right. How's that for you? Fucking hilarious. So yeah, there you go. No, I don't have a gun, but I'm going to get one. So don't try your luck.
I kind of want to get one too.
Well, yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. The civil war is coming, I think, in this country. And I don't want to be sitting here with my balls in my hand and some fucking asshole comes in with a gun because I'm fucked, right? I remember I was looking at a situation. I thought some people might, you know, be coming around my house. And my buddy's like, Mike, get a gun. I'll get you a gun. I went, I don't need a fucking gun. I've got a pitchfork. Because that's a good weapon. I'm like, I don't need a gun. I've got a pitch. Can you imagine the fucking death and the damage that you can do with a pitchfork? It's a long-range attack weapon. If you know, a fucking pitchfork, baby. Don't come near my house. I haven't got a gun, but I got a pitchfork, and I ain't afraid to use it.
I think gun beats pitchfork 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, it does. But still, if you're close enough to me, I'll pitch your fork you in. I'll get you with a pitchfork. Okay. And it's a nasty way to go. Very on trend for Halloween as well.
Have you shot a lot of guns in your life?
I'm
sure you've had a lot of opportunities to the, you know, just being in Nevada and.
Yeah, I've been to gun ranges and I am going to get a gun soon. Actually, we've spoke about this more for Rebecca. Because, you know, I'm away out of the country a lot. And if a guy...
Oh, she's weak as shit.
Yeah, if a guy kicks that door through in the middle of the night and comes in and wants to do damage, right? You can do whatever you want to her, okay? She doesn't know any kind of martial arts whatsoever. She's
a
fucking,
she can barely ride a horse.
She's shit at riding a horse. She can't do it, okay? She can't do it. She certainly cannot fight off a would-be attacker, mugger, rapist.
If you want to attack Rebecca Bisping, easy peasy.
I'll be out of town Wednesday night doing the contender, okay? I've got a really good-looking wife, and I've got a few kids in here. Hey, I got a German Shepherd doll. German Shepherd's an absolute pussy as well.
No, the German
He's outside shitting his pants. He's shitting his pants. All you got to do is wait to smell it. Well, now's the time. Rebecca's got the hose.
The only person who could do any damage is fucking Callum, who's hundreds of miles away in college.
And Alfie, but he's incapacitated with a fucking messed up asshole. So yeah, no, Wednesday night, go rob my house. You'll get her. You'll get her easy. I won't be here. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, what should we do? Should we do some questions or
No, we had a couple topics. Let's save the questions for Thursday because we had a little bit of time left here and we did have a couple more topics here that I thought were interesting. Namely, Israel Adesanya is moving up to 205 pounds to challenge Jan Blachowicz for the title, which is just massive news. We can't not talk about that.
You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought that up because yeah, you're right. It is huge news. I saw Izzy Friday night, I drove into Vegas for my COVID test and there he was getting his. So we had a little chat there and he said he was just with Dana. Never told me that news, but then Dana broke it at the post-fight press conference. Huge fucking fight. Got to respect the balls on Jan Blachowicz for taking that fight because right now Izzy looks incredible, right? That last fight against Costa was sensational. And as I've said a million times, for the person moving up in weight, there's no risk. If he loses that, he's still the champ at 185. No, he's still the champ at 185.
Yes, but there's risk for Izzy with part of his esteem being him being undefeated. Being undefeated, especially in today's day and age where people are moving up, moving down, left and right, fucking
correct,
east, west, different times. Okay,
But as a guy, and you are correct, Lewis, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I've got to say this. As a guy that used to be the champ, trust me, the real cream of the real cherry on top of the pie is the belt. Having that belt around your waist is earns you a lot of money. It opens a lot of fucking doors. So you're right, the undefeated nurse and all the rest of it, that's great. But you want to remain the champion of the world for as long as you can. A, because of prestige. B, because you worked your entire fucking life to achieve that. And C, because you earn a fortune and it will change your life and potentially your children's lives. You know what I mean? Or even your grandkids, if you're Conor McGregor. You know what I'm saying? So there is a big risk there for Jan Blachowicz, because Izzy isn't risking that same thing. And Adesanya is already the favorite. And I got to say, that fight, if you look at it, it's speed versus power, right? Blachowicz certainly has more power, but Adesanya doesn't even only have the speed. He probably has the technique. He has the speed. He's the favorite. He's undefeated. You know, it's a tough fight for Jan Blachowicz. That's why I respect him so much for taking it.
Yeah, but look, in a weird way, I understand why he takes it as well, because Izzy is such a star. He's on the rise right now. I think, you know, beating Dominic Reyes, while it's great, especially the way that he did it, considering the fact that a lot of people thought that Dominic Reyes beat John Jones, I think that having John Jones vacate that title left just a little bit of like, okay, it's not really the title yet. We got to have some time on it. It feels like an interim title. It doesn't feel like it's the real deal title. John Jones is truly the champion of 205. Having Izzy, who has all this heat coming in, I get why Jan goes, fuck it. I can get that heat. I can get that steam. If I beat him and I'm the first guy to beat Israel Adesanya, well, that whole big fucking plan about Israel versus John Jones, which is, this is all a setup for. This whole fight is a setup for Israel versus John Jones.
Oh, of course.
Well, I get to play spoiler to that. And now I get to fucking make my name as the dark horse of 205, the guy that wasn't even supposed to fucking be here.
Well, could you imagine if Izzy does beat Jan Blachowicz, then he becomes a double champ, which of course in itself is massive. But not only that, he has John's old belt, right? So that is the ultimate shit talking ground. You know what I mean? He can dangle that carrot in front of John all day long, say, motherfucker, I'm the champ now. I'm the captain now. Okay. What are you going to do? I'm the fucking captain. John, you don't even have a belt. You haven't even got a fight, you fucking loser. Oh God, you haven't even got a belt. Do you know what I mean? It's like Vin Diesel said to me that time, when I was the champ, he's like, no, Conor's got two belts, Mike. You need two belts to be considered great now. And that's what Izzy would have, and John would have nothing. And I think they said the plan is, if he beats Blachowicz, and it's a big if, then they would do Izzy as a double champ versus John Jones, possibly the GOAT, at Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas. That you want to see the stadium. It's fucking huge. Wow. That'd be incredible. Absolutely fucking incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we all want to see Israel Adesanya versus John Jones, and those guys seem to be on a path to colliding at one point in the future. But Jan Blachowicz could be the spoiler to that. Let's not get this shit twisted.
No.
We all thought that Dominic Reyes was going to beat Jan. Everyone thought that Dominic Reyes was going to come up because of the performance over John Jones. We all sort of counted out Jan Blachowicz, and then he came out and he stopped him. And we were like, holy shit, Jan's actually really, really tough, really, really powerful. Who knows? I'm going to be rooting for Jan Blachowicz, and not for Brian. Brian just chimed in.
Brian's like, not me. I picked that one. Okay, Nostra fucking Dharma. Shut the hell up. Nobody likes a braggart. Okay, Brian, just wheel it in a bit. Okay, dial it back. A little humility, please.
I would not count Jan Blachowicz out on this fight, though. That's what I'm saying. I think he could come in, and there's a path to get beating everybody. So.
Absolutely. 70,000 capacity at the Raiders Stadium. That would be huge. Yeah, no, listen. Blachowicz has the power for sure. But speed, I'd rather have speed than power. It's not like Izzy doesn't have power. It's not like he didn't knock out Robert Whittaker. It's not like he didn't just stop Paulo Costa. You know what I'm saying? He has very, very good power. And at 205, he's definitely going to be the smaller guy. He's going to be undersized. I don't know how true this is. I said this before on the podcast, by the way, dipshits, that he's light for middleweight. And he is. How do I know that? Because I'm at nearly every fucking UFC event and I speak to all the coaches and people like that, because they were like in the comments, like, no way, no way. But I heard he doesn't get very much heavier than 185. So he's going to come into this fight smaller, maybe 200 pounds, but you're going to have Jan coming in at 230, something like that. So, but Jan's going to be slower, but he's going to have the power. Okay. It's a very, very good fight. It's an interesting fight. I'll tell you why I respect Jan taking it so much. He's also, he only just became the champ. Do you know what I mean? It was a few weeks ago he became the champ, and now he's going to take on one of the greatest, you know, potential pound for pound greats right now, an undefeated talent, a guy that's calling out John Jones. And Błachowicz, after just winning whatever it was a few weeks ago, is willing to put it all on the line and say, I'll risk it. I'll fight Adesanya. Why is that? Because he's on a path to greatness and he wants to be known as one of the best ever. And that's what you do. You roll the dice every time you step in there. You know, you could lose at any time. So you might as well lose if you do against someone like Izzy, if you're going to lose.
It's the best play for Jan. What else is there, right? With the way that John Jones vacated that title, there's not many options for Jan to really make big money fights. You understand the other side of it is this. Jan Błachowicz, he probably believes he can beat any man in the world. Heavyweight, light heavyweight, middleweight. This is a fucking middleweight. Jan Błachowicz believes he can kill this man with his bare fucking hands. Let's get real. Okay?
Yes, like this guy is too small for me. And he's from Poland, but he's not Russian. But still, I feel like the accent is kind of similar. So this guy is very small for me. I'm big Polish guy. I got big square jaw. And this guy is skinny.
I go to the rope that man killed himself with in the woods.
No problem. I go see the rope and I see this guy and I see Izzy. I'm like, no, you're very small style bender. No problem. it's great. It's fucking awesome. That's why.
What's the play though? You want to make as much money as possible. What? There's no other play right now, unless you're fighting John Jones for that title. This is the absolute biggest play, and he probably is going, yeah, I'll fucking beat him. Take all that heat right now. It's playing cards right now, and he's betting on the best hand possible.
Harrington, if it was going to be a light heavyweight contender, who would it be next? Possibly the winner of Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira. They're fighting soon. I'd say it would be one of those, right?
Either that or the winner of, Dominic Reyes just booked a fight against Jiří Prochyrek. Maybe? No? Prohaska.
Yeah, no. Prohaska? Shut the fuck up. We just knocked out Reyes. You know what I mean? Okay. So nobody wants to see that just now. It would be the winner of Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. And a very, very good fight for the MMA hardcores. You know what I'm saying? But that ain't going to sell a lot of pay-per-views. That is not. But Izzy is now a proven pay-per-view star. Israel Adesanya stepping up a weight class to take on the Polish destroyer, the Polish power, the fucking big guy that just knocked out Dominic Reyes, that in a lot of people's minds beat John Jones. That's the storyline. The UFC can sell that. And we are in prize fighting, and the prize is the fucking money. And that will result in the most dollars going into Jan Błachowicz's bank account.
Israel Adesanya going up to 205 pounds is by far the best thing that could happen to the 205-pound division right now. They need stars. The problem, and this is not a knock on Glover Teixeira, not a knock on Thiago Santos. This is just the reality. John Jones has cleared out these divisions two times over. Okay, anybody who is a fan of mixed martial arts knows this, and you watch these fights and you go, oh shit, we know that these guys are not the best at 205. John Jones has that, and he's going to have that unless he comes back down and loses, or you know, years have to pass and we have to kind of cleanse that palate. This is the best thing, because at the very least, you have an undefeated guy. If he comes up, you're like, holy shit, he can come up and really create a name for himself at 205 as well. It does a lot for the division. It does a lot for everybody. And if he loses to Jan, well, now Jan is a star. Jan takes all that steam and all of that momentum.
And Izzy still has the belt at 185 anyway, so the UFC haven't lost anything there. Dana spoke about this at the weekend, and he said he was trying to do the rematch with Robert Whittaker for Izzy. He said, that makes sense. Whittaker's just beaten Till. He's beaten Jared Cannonier. That puts him next on deck for Israel Adesanya. And he said, but Whittaker doesn't want the fight. And Dana couldn't understand that. Obviously, Robert has his own reasons, and he doesn't feel quite ready. And that's fair enough. I don't think that's a knock on Robert. I understand that. And that's just him assessing the situation and being honest and saying, no, I know I can beat him. I want to be able to beat him, but not just yet. And that's a level of maturity. So they said he was left with no other fucking option, because they want big fights for Adesanya. And outside of Whittaker, well, all the other top guys have just been beaten. You know what I'm saying? So there really wasn't much choice other than a John Jones fight. Well, I shouldn't say not much choice. There's plenty of fucking choices and options. Of course there is. Mm. But the biggest one was another world title fight and another weight class. It's fucking and it's huge.
Massive. Out of nowhere, by the way. I did not see that coming. I thought it was going to be a couple more fights before we saw Israel Adesanya move up. But to be honest with you, very exciting news and great for the UFC 205-pound division. I hate when somebody vacates a title. It puts a bad taste in my mouth. It's almost the next champion. It's unfair to them because I think everyone looks at them as if they're less than. This is the perfect solution for that.
Well, that's what DC had, didn't he? The poor guy. Because he was, you know, if it wasn't for John Jones, he would have been the champion for a long, long time. And then when Jones was stripped, suspended, locked up, whichever one of the fucking 35 million reasons that he lost the belt for. By the way, you got to respect that. And who else has been stripped three times, I think it was. That in itself deserves some kind of plaque or an award. So then DC became the champ when he beat, who did he beat for the belt? He beat somebody. Volkan Uzdemir for the vacant title. He beat him. And, you know, there was a lot of, not criticism, but in some respects, he never really got the full respect from some hardcore fans saying, well, you're only the champ because John Jones is absent. So to your point, what you're saying, anytime somebody steps away from being the champ, the next guy in line never gets the full shine. And it's not fair. It really isn't fair because DC was a great champion, you know, and a heavyweight champion as well. But is that the end of it? You got to get out of here.
I got to run out. Unfortunately, I got to run out to Legion of Skanks. But thank you guys for watching. You guys can keep it going though. I mean, if you want to answer some questions, I'm not bothered by that at all, guys. Have fun. Enjoy yourselves.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to do now. I don't know whether I should or I shouldn't.
Well, now I put you on the spot.
Yeah, you're like, oh, so you chose to do the questions? Thanks, Mike. I see where your loyalty is. On the flip side, I am dying for a piss.
Go for a piss. Let's end the show. Let me plug a couple dates real quick. I have a couple dates coming up. I'll be December 4th and 5th. At the Celebrity Theater in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and also January 20th through 23rd at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. So some live shows coming back out if you guys are going to be in the area. Obviously, always social distance and limited capacity. Beyond that, hopefully, if things open back up in the new year, hopefully we get through this next cycle of the virus and all this other stuff. Me and Bisping can get back out on the road and do some more live shows because that was something that we really wanted to do, and we did one. And
yeah. I've been writing it a little bit. So when all the shit passes, we will do that. But thank you for tuning into our little show. We do appreciate the loyalty. We do appreciate the passion. Tell your friends, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll be back Thursday. Going to work on a good guest for Thursday. We'll have a great show planned. Until then, take care. Be well. Goodbye.